Well, good morning again. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 40. Hopefully when you get a note from me earlier in the week, you're able to think ahead, maybe read what we're coming up on in the life of Joseph. Joseph in prison. So far in our journey through Joseph's years as a young man, we've seen three primary themes so far. God's deliverance of him when his brothers tried to kill him. His brothers tried to put him down in the well and the pit. And eventually, in God's great mercy, he was rescued but sold as a slave. Went to Egypt. Second, as a slave in the house of Potiphar, God promoted him. Advanced him incredibly. So instead of being left alone, abandoned, God kept him. And third, in our previous time a few weeks back, we saw how God preserved Joseph in Potiphar's house as Potiphar's wife tried to stumble him, tried to seduce him. And God kept Joseph as a pure man. Am I getting an echo, guys? Is this okay? Is it coming across? All right. But today we're going to see Joseph as God's messenger. God's messenger while in prison. Now, that's not your everyday place for evangelism, is it? You don't think about prisoners being the main voice of what's going on in the affairs of the biggest kingdom in the world of that day. Politicians and leaders across the world would say there's nothing going on in prisons that's going to shape anything that happens in the world. But with God, all things are possible. God's messenger, Joseph. Let's go to the text and read it, and then I'll pray. Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was found. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward, or for an extended time. Verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And Joseph asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. And he said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uttermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off of thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off of thee. Verse 20. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Amen. May God bless his word. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the glorious providence, ruling hand of God in these verses, in these scenes, with this man Joseph, that you are the God of the kingdoms, you're the God of the leaders, the nations, you're the God of the prisons, and you're the God of dreams and leading of what will happen. Thank you for Joseph, Lord. Thank you that we today can behold glorious things from your word. Help us, Lord. Teach us. Draw us, Holy Spirit. Let us see with eyes of faith, Lord. Let us understand by your opening. Help us, Lord. Thank you for our great Savior. We look to you. Amen. Being a messenger. You know what that's like when you're a messenger, when you have to be the spokesman. Sometimes this involves giving others really good news, but sometimes you have to give really bad news. I think of that when I hear about great surgeons, and they help patients come through very hard things, and they can go give good news to the family, to the spouse. But sometimes the surgeon leaves that room, that operating room, and it will not be easy what he's about to share. So we can identify this thing of being a spokesman, being a messenger, having something that you're to declare. Recently, I had lunch with a former colleague that I had worked with for years. He's an engineer who does what we call H&H, hydrology and hydraulics, creeks, rivers, streams, big water bodies. He models and does that kind of analysis on how things can happen or change for potential developments. And so in some ways, his work begins to set the boundaries of what you could or couldn't do with a large piece of land. And we were visiting over lunch. And he and I were reflecting on sometimes you've got really good news for clients. This could work. And sometimes you don't have real great news. And sometimes he would share with clients and they would get angry, because they knew that what he was sharing with them would cost them time and money. But he was a messenger. He had to be true to the message. Well, that illustration or things that come to your mind today is nothing compared to what Joseph was being used for as a messenger. But yet we learn from this. Joseph was God's man from his teenage years with his brothers and his parents when he shared with them about the dreams he had. He didn't interpret his dreams when he was a teenager to his family. He just told them what he had dreamed. But now, from that point as a teenager, as he's moving into his adult years, he's still less than 30 years old. He was God's messenger. One of the major themes in the life of Joseph is he's speaking on behalf, or speaking what God is declaring is and will happen. It's phenomenal, the truth of this. It's all building to the rescuing of God's people, because the famine is coming. And in this event, in chapter 40, he's the messenger to two pretty insignificant guys, really. A butler who served in Pharaoh's court, and a baker. And these guys had gotten into a bad relationship, had done something with Pharaoh, and so now they've been sent to the prison, and here they are, and Joseph is going to be a messenger to them. And the message becomes a connection to what's ahead in his life there in Egypt. So saints, there's so much for us to learn from Joseph today as God's messenger. You have moments where you're the messenger. It'll happen today or tomorrow or this week. Because as a Christian, you're around others. People come to you. People ask questions. People are in need. You're with family members. You're with colleagues in work. college, whatever it may be. And so you have to speak messages. You have to share with them. For some of you today, there's going to be a need for you to have more courage, more boldness, to speak more openly with others when God brings them to you with big questions. Some of you, you're going to need that. For others of us today, you and us, as we think together, there's a need for us to guard ourselves. Guard ourselves as though that we don't say too much, that we're true to God's Word, and we don't give the attention to our opinions. We simply express truth as the Scriptures give it to try to help others. You following me here? This is just preparatory. Joseph is in this same place in a big way. He has to declare what God has given in these dreams to these two men, but he doesn't do it in his own strength or wisdom. And we can take away from this great things. Men, women, younger, older, it doesn't matter. We're in places where we have to speak to others. And we have to be very guarded to speak what God would want us to speak. So let's enjoy together today seeing how God used Joseph as a messenger. Chapter 40 is about this, and then chapter 41 is going to just get more grand. He's got to help Pharaoh with his dreams. There are three things here in chapter 40, three key things that I want us to see about Joseph as the spokesman, as God's man for the hour, to these two men in the prison. So let's go back and set the scene. Now, children, do most of y'all remember this story? I always like to kind of pause. Y'all remember the story about Joseph? He's in jail. This butler guy has a dream. The baker has a dream. Do you, children, have you remembered this story? It's pretty fascinating, isn't it? I mean, we all have dreams. Krista and I, just the last couple of days, have been saying to each other, my dreams were all over the place. But this is a big moment of what has just happened in their life and what is about to happen. But it's connected to the purposes that God has for Joseph. So the scene is a prison. I mean, we're talking about this scene, these events here are essential to what happens with Joseph going on and being promoted. And yet, we'd be thinking, in a prison with these guys? Come on now. So it just shows us in the sovereignty of God, there are no secondary moments or moments that are meaningless. They're all moments are within the tapestry or within the plan of God. And so here's Joseph in the prison, and he has been put to look after at some level, however you advance going back and finding more detail, but he was to look after these guys. He had a certain responsibility there in the prison. And through this night, the next morning, the next 3 days, and what was going to happen, through these very events, God brings about amazing events that will land Joseph on the right hand of Pharaoh. I mean, sometimes you'll say, well, it was just an everyday morning, right? On 9-1-1 in our country, at 7 a.m. Eastern time, it was a routine morning in the United States of America. But it wasn't going to be routine in a few hours. But in this morning, these guys wake up, and Joseph is there. Of course, he's in the same prison. He's connected to them. And God has big purposes that are going to unfold. That's the scene. We come right off the heels of Potiphar wrongly accusing him. He gets put into prison, and so now we pick it up. There's Joseph with these men. If you want to say God's plan is just continuing to unfold, that's exactly right. These are not tangents at all. These are essential steps to what God is doing with this young Hebrew man, Joseph. And so here he is, two men, two dreams, same night. That's coincidental, isn't it? That's the only time I'm going to use that word in this sermon, I promise you. It is not coincidental. We use that word sometimes just as an English word to maybe picture something. But it's providence. It's the hand of the Almighty. Right? As Paul declared on Mars Hill, in Him we live and move and have our being. Every step, every dream, every day. So in God's providence, these two men have two dreams. And they're dramatic. Both of them, the same night, separate men, separate dreams, both dramatic. Both prophetic, coming events, and both fearful. You know, we can honestly just say, when you look at what they dreamed, these dreams were not frivolous, and they were not strange in the sense that they were bizarre, out there, like dreams will have that get patched together. Something from your childhood mixed with your college days or something that happened in the last week. Those just become this mixed of the mind. But here, these dreams have content. They have a sequence of events that are going to be played out in their lives and then ultimately with Pharaoh and with Joseph. So the dreams were gripping. They were fearful. And they needed prophetic interpretation. What are they going to do? This is the scene. This is where we are. As one brother said, God has immediate access to the spirits of men. Their dreams were in His hand, and the interpretation were in His hand, meaning God who rules over all. So that's the scene. Their dreams have troubled them, and they're in desperation to find out what do these mean. They were gripped. Their day was ruined. They knew something was being told to them, but they didn't understand. And God brought this about so that Joseph would be right there. Right there. Along the way today, I want you just to pause and think of those providential moments where somebody is right there for you. Probably not with a bizarre dream or a heavy dream, but with other things that they're going to face. And they come and they ask and they're troubled and they're weighed down. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's a person that you work with or you see periodically. So that's the scene. Two men, two dreams, dramatic events, nobody to interpret. But God has His servant Joseph there. So let's go back now. First, I want us to note first about Joseph as God's messenger. He was divinely appointed to be right there. Not to go and find him, but to be right there with those men. Look back at verse 6 and 7. Let's read it again. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and he looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. I think it could also be translated, they were frightened. They were downcast. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house. He said, "Why do you look so sad today? Why are you so downcast?" It must have been painfully honest that they were really weighed down by these dreams. So here he is with them. The morning, these two men, the weightiness of it, and Joseph is there. The scene unfolds as though the first thing and the first person they saw was Joseph. And we wouldn't know the details of how many prisoners, what's going on, but we know in God's appointed time, Joseph is the first one they express anything to. He's the first one to see them. They're together. But these men, they don't have any answers. They don't have any answers. They know something has been revealed or something has been declared in their thoughts in the night. But Joseph is the one that's going to help them. Joseph is God's servant. He's appointed. He's there. God set it all up. And God has every detail for Joseph to share. Now, we obviously need to just stop and say, what's going to happen with Joseph in interpreting dreams is God's divine gift. It's miraculous. Nobody's trying to today apply this truth to you and I trying to go around and interpret people's dreams. But God is giving us days and moments and interactions with people where they are in desperate places. And we see this that we can learn from. But Joseph is speaking in things of God's revelation that are miraculous. Nobody studies to do this. Nobody's ready to go around answering dreams, but God had His man. And so the details and the clarity of the details God gives to Joseph. So he's there. It's appointed. Now, have you thought about this? Do you think it would have been a friendly sight for those men to see Joseph as the first guy? I was reading some of the writers, and that question is posed. Do you think they would have been frightened to see Joseph? That's that Hebrew guy. Or do you think they would have been encouraged to see this man Joseph? It's just fun to think about it. My opinion is they would have been encouraged. Joseph was so faithful. Every page we go through, God was with him, God was with him, God was blessing him. These men knew something about this Joseph because they knew what had happened to him. But now they're seeing his life. His life is being lived out in front of them. So he's not just divinely there as a one-time event, but he knows these men and they know him. So it was probably a good sight to them. But I want us to see back in the way Joseph responds, Joseph was tender and compassionate and sensitive to something difficult, something heavy was going on here. Right there, it's a beautiful picture of just his awareness, Joseph's awareness of what the need perhaps in front of him was going to be. He could see it on these men, and he had compassion. He said, "Why are you so sad? Why are y'all so sad? What's weighing you down? What has happened? What's going on? It's the morning." I mean, you might ask somebody that by 7 o'clock in the evening at the end of a hard day. You know, I'd call him Brother Brian this week. It's been a full one. I think it's 11 or 12 or 1 or whatever. I thought, oh boy, Brian has had a full one. But Joseph is seeing guys probably shortly after daybreak, and they are troubled. And he has discernment. He has insight that there's something here. And so he said, "Why are you so sad?" And they say to him, "We've had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. We're in a bad way. Something is going to happen, and we don't understand these events." They could feel it, and they said, "We don't have an interpreter." Joseph is there, though. Joseph is there. He's God's man. And so now what's going to happen is, not only is he appointed to be there and to hear them and to understand that things are hard, but he now has to be the messenger, good or bad. He has to speak forth according to what God has. This is big. This is profound when you apply it to the everyday Christian life. Joseph's is monumental. We stand back and go, wow. But there are aspects of this that every Christian through the ages has moments where they have to speak things to others. God's man. He has to speak to their consciences, their conscience. Joseph is speaking things that are going to happen, and he realizes he would know this is going to speak to their conscience because they're under the one great God. He's not just going to relieve their fears, just try to get them out of this mess. He's got to speak the truth. And God is putting there for that very thing. It is hard at times to have to see somebody whose life is a wreck, or they're troubled, or they've gotten themselves into such iniquity. And it's hard sometimes. What do you say to them? Sometimes it's people that are coming out of that. It's joyful to say things to them because God is turning them. Years ago, 10 plus years ago, I had a work colleague come to find me. And this guy was really a graphics whiz. Did a lot of cool computer graphics and stuff. He worked it in the marketing side of it. But he was known as a guy whose life was unraveling. And he lived with kind of a hard countenance, and people said he would go out at lunchtime and drink heavily and come back after the lunch break. I wasn't close enough to him, meaning I didn't work with him on a day-to-day basis, but I knew his life was falling apart. And one day, just a routine morning like this, he plops in, he comes into my office, and he sits down and he shuts the door with tears. Okay, now then, what do I say to this guy? He's fixing to unburden 10 or 15 years of just reckless living. What do you say? "I've got a meeting, I'm going to have to leave." You can't say that. So as I just begin to hear him share, his marriage was falling apart. He admitted, "My life is a wreck." And I said, "You know," I'm not going to use the name, but I said, "You know what I'm going to say to you?" He said, he just nodded his head. I said, "You need to seek God. You need the living God. You need Christ." I think I had two sentences with him. He nodded his head. I said, "That's what you need. Their whole life is a wreck. You need to turn. You need to do what the only hopeful thing you can do is turn from your sin and run to Christ, run to God." I was trying to speak to his conscience. We can't relieve men from their misery because in small ways. There are times we can do that. We can give man a cup of water. We can minister to somebody who has a car problem. You can do things. But I'm talking about speaking to them. What do we speak to them? What is Joseph going to speak to him? He's God's appointed man. The time is now. And he does. Remember what Peter said? But sanctify the Lord thy God in your hearts, right? And be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that is within you with fear and trembling. Be ready, saints. Be ready. Joseph was ready. God had him there. Joseph was ready to speak a word to these men. And it wouldn't have necessarily been an easy thing to say. So that's the first thing. God appointed it. God had him. God has you. God has me. He has our steps. He has our places. He has our encounters with people. Second thing we notice about Joseph, he was faithful, or he was true as God's messenger. He spoke what was true. He was faithful. He possessed what God gave him miraculously, and he said it all. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, but did you give them the whole counsel of God? Meaning, did you speak the truth as God reveals it that they need to hear? It could be with a 13-year-old or a 50-year-old, or it could be with somebody just your first time encounter. It could be, again, with somebody you're around often and they're watching you. They know you. They know that you live for some greater reason. God, Christ, the gospel, the Bible. But Joseph was faithful. We see this in verses 8. Verses 12 and 13, verses 18 and 19, because he's speaking to these men according to what God has revealed. But this is where we start in his faithfulness. What did he say first? When they said in verse 8, there's no interpreter here. Joseph didn't do this. I'll take care of it. Just tell me. It's not what he says. What does he say? Do not interpretations belong unto God? Here's a modern answer to that. Doesn't God have the truth on everything? Isn't he the main one that says everything in every culture, in every society, in all of humanity? Isn't he the one that speaks truth? That's really the broadest application of that. Do not interpretations, what's happening, what's going to happen, do not those belong unto God? It's a magnificent statement for Joseph to start with. Not only is it true, but it's an acknowledgement that God is the one who speaks truth, not him. There's nothing in this about Joseph's boasting. Nothing. Tell that to the name it and claim it guys in America and in other places. Come to us. We'll heal you. We'll take care of you. We got answers. We'll fix you. Really? That's not really what Joseph said or Daniel said. Where do you guys come up with that? The Lord Jesus said he's the one that has life. He's the one that rescues. Even his own disciples got stumped over and over again, and he would say, bring them to me. That's the truth we need to hear often. You and I don't have answers for everything. The answers that we do have are God's answers anyway. Really, candidly, nobody needs a bunch of opinions. They need the truth. Joseph didn't sit around and theorize about these dreams. He just spoke what God had revealed. He says, do not interpretations belong to God. That's the first mark of him being a faithful messenger right there. His confidence was not in himself. His confidence was in God. Immediately, these guys, fearful, immediately what he does, Joseph, is he turns their attention to the one great God and sovereign who rules, who reigns. Oh, man, as John Piper would say, people need to be under the grip, the fear of the majesty and the greatness of God. Whether they hear us preaching or singing or talking or living, that God is. He's great. As Piper would say, he's heavy. He's majestic. He's awesome. And that's what Joseph starts with. Do not interpretations, everything you men are feeling, what you're facing, these belong to God. He doesn't take off on his own wisdom or his prophetic understanding. He didn't do that. That's not where Joseph goes. He simply tells them, God has this. Think of the testimony that was. Like, these men probably already knew it in Joseph's life. That he was saying, or he was implying to them, that he was going to trust God to reveal it to them, good or bad. This is in God's court. When you and I talk to others, we do well to follow Joseph's example. When others need insight, they got a topic. Because there's all this grappling. What is the truth in our day? What does this mean? We need to give them the truth. We've got the living book of God. We need to give them the truth. Like Joseph, we need to let the Holy Spirit give us words for the situation. We can't pre-prepare for really any big, lofty question. We just know and walk with God. We know His Word. We're prepared in the truth, and the Holy Spirit will guide us. Joseph didn't prepare for these dreams. His preparation, if we want to put it that way, was he loved and walked with his God and his Savior, his King. So that's something we learn from. Like Joseph, we need to let what God has declared be what stands. This is the truth. And that day it was for a butler and a baker. In our day it may be for a colleague or a coach or a friend or a distant uncle, whoever. We need to speak the truth so that God is lifted up and His truth arrests the consciences of men. Yes, that's what Joseph would do. Do not interpretations belong to God? Be ready, beloved, like Joseph. Be ready for such heavy moments. Isaiah said it this way, know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Remember that? That was one of Isaiah's prayers. That he would know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We got weary, failing, desperate, perishing human beings around us every day. We're going to leave this building and we're going to live in a society and we're going to walk and shop and do business and things that we do, and we're in a society that is desperate. Not because they've had wild dreams, because they don't know the living God. And we have to be ready to speak a word to them. So they said to Joseph, we don't have an interpreter. He says, do not interpretations belong unto God? Tell me, I pray you. He said, tell me about your dreams. Two dreams, we're not going to go back through them. The butler, his dream was declaring or sending forth messages of good things to come in 3 days. Not in 3 years, in 3 days. The baker's like, man, that's good news. I got to get in on this. Joseph had already finished talking. Tell me about my dream. The baker's dream, not good ending going to come out of this. So we have, as a faithful messenger, Joseph is having to speak to both extremes. Unwaveringly, he has to speak the truth. He has to be faithful with two different dreams, the butler and the baker. The butler's good news. You just look at it in the text, the dream, the imagery, the metaphors here, the pictures, the vine, the blossoms, the clusters, the grapes, squeezing the grapes, Pharaoh's cup, Pharaoh's hand. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Full restoration. I can't imagine how quickly the butler's fear and his heart rate went from complete terror to joy. I think he believed Joseph. I mean, there's a reason to think that because of the way the baker responds. So Joseph gives good news. Sometimes you have good news. You have fresh water for people. They'll come see you. They'll be in your life. They'll call you. You can even text somebody. Really good news, right? Never thought I'd live long enough to say that, but yes, you can. You can give words of life in a short text. But we're stewards, beloved. You men, you sisters, you're stewards of the grace of life to speak to others. And sometimes you give people the best news they could ever want to hear. Christ Jesus forgives. He takes you in. You're His. You're adopted. He's your Lord and Savior, Master forever. He keeps you. He loves you. That is the good news. But for the baker, tough, hard, bad news. Joseph, as a faithful messenger, declares unto him what God has declared. It's not Joseph's answer or his message anyway. It's God's. He says to the baker, your head will be lifted off. You will be hung. The birds will eat your flesh. The imagery is grotesque. It's extreme, isn't it? It's saying, this man will live and you will die in 3 days. Can you and I be faithful in those kinds of moments to give people words of life? When you see somebody that's life is reckless and they're with you, can you say to them, you stay on that path and you will perish in hell. You will die. You will pay. You will be under the judgment of God. If Steve Camp said to Prince in the elevator 30 years ago, whatever, when Prince said, what do I have to do to become a Christian? And Steve Camp said, bow. You have to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prince said, I don't bow to anybody. And Steve Camp said, you will one day. Can we say these things? We have to possess the truth, to speak the truth, to be true to God in what He has declared. We cannot let sinners go on down their way and not be true to them. We cannot. They're perishing. I'm not talking about us being cruel, belittling, trying to take cheap shots at people, but speak the truth in love. Turn from your sin. That's what Joseph, in his own way, had to say. Your life is fixing to end. So as a faithful messenger, Joseph had to declare the good and the bad to honor God and be true to God. It was not Joseph's opinion that mattered. It was the word of the Lord. Take that, beloved. Let's learn from that. We are possessors of the truth, being possessed by it, and being those who express it to others. Number three, Joseph persevered as God's messenger. Not only was he divinely appointed as God's messenger, and not only was he true in that role and faithful in that role, but thirdly, he persevered. This wasn't the last time he's fixing to be a messenger. And so he had to stay the course, because as we just read, he doesn't get a fair shake out of this, does he? He helps the butler. He speaks to the baker. But let's go back. Joseph actually makes a request for himself, doesn't he? Isn't that an interesting two verses, 14 and 15? Once he gives the good news to the butler, and it's obviously that man's going to be restored unto Pharaoh, going to be back in Pharaoh's court doing what he did, Joseph sees into it enough to say, remember me. Remember me. Remember what I've done with you. Remember what God has done for you. Remember me. Now, if we're going to be honest, you know what I probably would have said? I'm not going to speak for you guys and gals, but I would have said, you know how bad my brothers cheated me? They're all just wretched. Do you know what Potiphar did? He believed his wife. I didn't do anything. You know what Potiphar's wife did? No, none of that. Joseph is God's messenger. He didn't go railing on anybody else. He doesn't disclose everything to them. He simply says, I've given you words that are good for you, Mr. Butler. Remember me. Show kindness unto me. Do to me what I've done to you. Express things to Pharaoh. I'm a Hebrew. They knew that. I've come from another land. I'm here not of my own will. I've been in prison. I didn't do anything to deserve to be in prison. Remember me. Show kindness unto me. It's not as though Joseph is putting conditions on him. He's simply saying, remember, I'm here and show kindness. It's really a marvelous expression of this man's heart, this 20-something-year-old man's heart. That how God had this man. It's just awesome. It's wonderful. It's helpful. It ought to stir hope and faith in us that God will do things like this in our life. He is doing these kinds of things. Beloved, we have to believe Him for our own lives to help us, to give us the right spirit, the right perspective, the right words, the right request. Remember me. Show kindness. Make mention of me to Pharaoh. Put my case before him. It's fair. Fair enough. So what did the butler do? Nothing. As we say at my office sometimes, zero. Nothing. So what is Joseph thinking? Boy, I was faithful to God. He leaves me in this prison. Not at all. The butler doesn't remember him. 3 days come. You can overanalyze it. Well, if the butler had talked to Pharaoh, maybe you shouldn't talk about those things. This is a prisoner. This is a Hebrew. Come on, you don't need to waste Pharaoh's time. Whatever. Bottom line is, in God's infinite wisdom, but the butler's message about this dream interpreter doesn't get to Pharaoh yet. Not yet. 3 days go by. Things happen just as Joseph has declared, faithfully. The butler is restored. The baker is hung. And things go on, and Joseph is still in the prison. You'll say things to people. You'll give words of encouragement, words of warning. My colleague, he's been dead for years. He's been dead for years. What I'm saying to you, he didn't hear. He didn't heed what he was told. I remember when somebody called me to say, he's gone. Young man, relatively speaking. What does that mean? I better not say things like that to those people next time. Oh, saints, we don't have time to waste with people. We've got to give them good news, or we've got to give them words of warning. They need truth. They need truth. Everybody around us at all ages, at all times, needs truth. You and I need the truth. But everybody around us needs the truth. We have to be ready. And Joseph had to see his place under the ruling hand of God. It would have been frustrating. 3 days go by, things exactly what he said. Nobody sends for Joseph. As we'll find out next week when we continue on, 2 years go by. You guys whine and bellyache if 2 hours later somebody hadn't texted you back. Right? Oh, so-and-so, that Joel, he just never treats me right. Jeff hadn't called me, and I told him to call me this morning. It's 11:15. You see what I'm saying? It's not a light thing to persevere as God's messenger. It's not. You read the life of Whitfield, and you look at those men who labored in the gospel, and the people that were brought into the kingdom of God, glorious, but those who opposed them, tried to kill them, hurt them, poison them, whatever, they had to believe God and keep going in what they were there for. And Joseph does just this. He perseveres as God's messenger because he's got bigger messages coming. As big as these were for the baker and the butler, there's bigger messages coming. So he had to be a steward there for what was coming. I think that's an emphasis I want to give to us as we go on this continued journey through Joseph's life. Every step connect to the next. You cannot disconnect this event as though it's insignificant. It's very significant. His moral purity with Potiphar's wife was significant for his preservation for what was next. His a messenger to these men is important for what God has next. And it applies to our lives too. Joseph had to persevere and wait on God, and God would bring him to the next time to be a messenger. You will be too. As I close in this amazing story, sometimes it's hard to stop, isn't it? You just want to go to the next chapter. Come on, let's keep going. But as I close, I have said from the beginning of this study, I want us to always end by seeing Joseph as a type, as a shadow of the greater reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a messianic character, figure in the Old Testament. And so, as we've said each time, Joseph gives us a lively picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the preeminent one. All of this, all of Scripture is pointing and centers on the redemptive work, the man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. So let's close by applying, even from this story, truths of our great Savior. I have two. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ was and is the messenger to all mankind. Was and is the messenger, capital M, to all mankind. Nobody else ought to be getting asked questions, ultimately. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in Him all the treasures of wisdom dwelt. He was God in the flesh. All truth comes from Him. He is the expert and the authority on any subject. Moral purity, how to view money, marriage, work, loving others, serving, whatever the subject. He's the messenger. What He says is always true. There's no backstory. There's no games. It's always the truth. You hear this? He is the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When you say that to people in our day, when you quote to them out of these Gospels, the red it blows people away that they think, people still believe that? Yeah, they do. They don't even believe it. They feast on it. They live by these truths. These truths define who they are, what they do, what they don't do. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the messenger. Joseph was a messenger for a small season with a few people that had big results. The Lord Jesus is a messenger in all ages, at all times. What he says is true on every topic to every person, young or old. Seems like that ought to grip us as we end today. He's the great messenger. Let's learn of him. Let's speak his truth. Second, this is my final point on the Lord Jesus. He spoke the greatest of news to people, and he spoke the weightiest of news to people. You talk about the one who could give the greatest of good news and the heaviest, most awesome, most fearful news to others. Right? Think of this. There's nothing compared to our president or other leaders or other men who threaten or this or that, what they're going to do, what they're not going to do. I'm going to do this. It's just men. With Jesus Christ, when we look at what he said to others, it's just awesome. It's incredible. Words of help to people. We could just stop right now and I could go this row. Tell me, quote to me words that Jesus gave to people who desperately needed to hear words of life. Two words, be healed. How about this one? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up thy bed and walk. I'm coming to your house today. I have loved thee, as he said to his disciples. You don't need to be washed again, Peter. You're already washed. Word. Think of the news. Think of the messages. Think of Christ Jesus, our great Savior. The messages he gave. Let's learn from him. He could express good news because he was the good news. He was the good news. Christ is the good news. He is the gospel. He's the atoning sacrifice for us. So he gave words that comforted and helped and gave people hope. Neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. You see, beloved, let this just overwhelm you. What a Savior. I mean, we see Joseph. We're going to keep going through Joseph's life, but we want to see it in the majesty of Jesus Christ. And he had the weightiest of news to people. I mean, you talk about saying it like it is. You are like your father, the devil. You shall die in your sins. You're stiff-necked. Oh, slow of heart, right? Slow to believe. On and on and on. You will perish into everlasting destruction. You see, beloved, our great Savior was the messenger of messengers. He was the one speaking to people in those moments, in those days, at those times, and you and I are appointed of God, like Joseph, to be messengers. Rejoice in that. Have an open heart in it. Have joy in it. Walk humbly in it. Be ready. Who knows? It may be at 2:30 today. Somebody stops. They're making a purchase. They go in and somebody stops you. I have this happen pretty often. So they'll say, sir. I look over and I realize, another divine appointment. Sometimes they're behind the corner. Sometimes they're 6 feet from the door. I was telling Brother Don Curran, I was 5 feet from Chipotle one time, and everybody coming and going is watching me visiting with this guy. And you could feel sometimes when people walk by the scorn that people, right there, God's got the moment for me and for him, for them. They're there. They're needy. God help you. You're at the clinic when you go. Just rescue babies, but to rescue women out of a life of probably dark things. God help us. Oh, beloved, we're messengers. Let's let God use us for his glory. Let me pray. Father, we do rejoice that you are the sovereign God of grace and leading, that the encounters that we have are not accidental any more than Joseph's were. You had Joseph. Who knows, but maybe that butler perhaps even came to faith. We don't know, but we know that Joseph declared the one true God. Lord, There are times we feel that people need a strong word from us, a warning. Lord, help us to not shrink back. Give us grace. Let us walk with you. Let us see your truth is what we're possessors of. Let us follow our great Savior, speaking the truth, teaching every man, warning people, but living for thy glory. Help us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.